This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoopstead with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. How are we doing today, Walt?
Oh, not doing too bad. How's the weather up there? It's beautiful down here. It's like 75 degrees. The sun is out. There's a nice breeze. Got all the windows open. Beautiful down here.
Well, it's beautiful up here, considering it is the District of Columbia. We have about the same weather. It's a little bit cooler than your neck of the woods, but again, it's a beautiful day. Unfortunately, it's going back up to the 90s this weekend. Yay. But anyways, Walt, let's go down first to order of business. We always want to remember law enforcement officers that were murdered in the line of duty. Today we remember Tuscaloosa, Alabama Police Department officer, investigator Darnell Cousette. End of watch, September 16th, 2019. Investigator Cousette was serving a warrant on an individual and for failure to appear. And he was serving the warrant, and gunfire ensued. The offender was shot and wounded and is still breathing. So we want to remember thoughts and prayers go out to Investigator Cousette's family and the Tuscaloosa, Alabama Police Department. And so, anyways, Walt, that's first order of business. Second order of business, Dateline, Staten Island, New York. Earlier this week, New York's finest responded to a domestic. You and I both know domestics are one of the worst calls we can receive and most dangerous calls police officers receive. And the most mundane or awful calls one can receive because, again, you're breaking up families, kids are involved, somebody got beat up, this, that, and other thing. But anyways, this is a different incident at in Staten Island, New York. Cops were called to a domestic, and a gunfight ensued. New York's finest arrived on the scene. Fight broke out, and one Gregory Edwards decided to draw a stolen weapon from an MOS or member of the service and started firing. He hit one officer in the hand, and the officers returned fire, striking Mr. Edwards in the chest. And, of course, somebody with the age of advent of cell phones, somebody has the scene on video. You see the injured officer get in the back of an RMP and headed down to the hospital. As Mike Dowd said in the movie, The 7-5, cops don't wait for ambulances. So then you see another MOS perform a CPR on the 39-year-old Edwards, who fortunately did pass away. Why do I say that? Because Mr. Edwards is a career criminal. Now, this is not just a happy ending to a story. The officer was rushed to the hospital, and Bill de Blasio decided to put some overtime in this month and actually arrived at the hospital to talk about the greet the officer, talk about the situation. Officer is expected to make a full recovery. Mr. Edwards will be put in the ground sometime, but as usual, the fine residents of the neighborhood decided to get into it with the cops, yelling and screaming and getting the death threats as you see an officer on the ground performing CPR on a career criminal. And, of course, the Legal Aid Society of the City of New York criticized New York's finest for not de-escalating the situation. Well, when a guy draws a weapon on an officer arriving at the scene trying to de-escalate the situation in the first place, well, guess what? That person who drew the weapon escalated the use of force continuum. Well, what's your take on this whole situation in Staten Island?
Well, you know, you're right. You know, the domestic violence radio runs were among the tops of the worst because the situation, you don't know how volatile it is. Drinking, drugs, guns, you know, knives, kids in the middle of all this, you know, it's a very sticky situation when you walk up on somebody's house and knock on the door and say, police, you know, did you call us? And, you know, somebody shows up at the door with a gun. You know, I'm going to shoot, you know, I'm going to take cover and pull mine. And, I think these officers acted professionally and appropriately, performing CPR on a guy that just shot your partner. You know, what more does the public want? Police have lost all respect. I'm surprised they didn't bring out the freaking water buckets and dump water on him while he was doing CPR. it's just unbelievable the way people are reacting when police show up. The neighborhood, hell, it's none of their damn business. If they cared, they would have went in and took care of their neighbors if they knew them. They probably didn't even know their names. Just unbelievable when you got two guys in a car. They have their own families. They have their own thing, and they're there to help. And freaking 90% of the time, the public, when you show up, it's just like the opposite. Like, you're the agitator. They responded to radio runs. That's what their job is to do, is to handle every situation. You know, the rest of the day didn't go well with the officer that got shot in the hand. And I'm sure the rest of the day didn't go well with the officer who was performing CPR. You know, it's degrading when people are standing there yelling at you and screaming at you. You know, it's happened before. It happened way back when I was on the job a few times. And I did an interview for Frontline, God, a million years ago. And in the middle 80s, it was like us against them all the time. And now the police department and de Blasio is, well, not so much the police department, it's coming from the mayor's office, you know, to kiss everybody's behind and be nice and be okay and be politically correct and be this and that. Got to go back to being street smart to get to respect. And these cops did the right thing. I don't know if I would have wasted my breath doing CPR on the guy, but maybe that was all for show. Who knows? The officers acted professionally. And de Blasio showing up, you know, if I was in the hospital and I was hurt and de Blasio showed up, I think I would have rolled over and showed him my bedpan. I don't think he needs to be going to a hospital for a wounded cop. You know, and then the other cop was doing the CPR. You know, he's also wounded. You know, battle scars aren't always physical. The people in the area didn't help out much either. So, you know, right. Officer did the right thing. They did a quick crime scene. They wrapped it up and got the hell out of there.
Right. Anyways, kudos for New York's finest for a job well done. But we're going to see more of this. They're going to be coming on radio calls for anything, and there'll be a fight us against them. Coming up, we got Corey Lewandowski, Joe Biden, and the rest of the Democrat losers. This is 7-5 Radio.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
All right, welcome back to 7-5 Radio. I'm still Peter Scoop Stanton, and Walter Yerkes. Anyways, for the rest of the show, we'll still be bashing Democrats. It hasn't been a good week for the Democrats whatsoever. First thing up is must-see TV. Trump's former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, that's a hell of a name. That's a fine Irish name. Corey Lewandowski was testifying for about 6 hours on Capitol Hill this week about Trump campaign so-called collusion, a bunch of other nonsense. Because the House Judiciary Committee, headed by one Jared Nadler, also known as the Penguin, is looking to impeach Trump. Now, granted, he has no, there's no charges been brought up. There's no probable cause to charge him with anything because nothing has been, no crime has been committed, no high crimes, no misdemeanors, no nothing. Because the Democrats are evacuating their bowels into their trousers because they realize if Trump gets 2020, then guess when stand by. But anyway, some of the highlights was Lewandowski just going talking to committee chairman Jared Nadler for 5 minutes, his opening statements, just clowning everybody and saying that he's an upstanding citizen. He's a peace officer for I forget what state in the New England, and that was the gist of it for the opening statements. Sheila Jackson Lee went on a 5 minute rant about something or other, and then he said he was told Lewandowski was told to answer the question. He's like, "Well, could you repeat the question?" And because she's like, "I didn't hear a question. All I heard were rants." And so then Sheila Jackson Lee asked for another 5 more minutes on the clock. She was denied. She looked like an idiot. Also, Eric Swalwell asked, who a failed presidential candidate, he was asked some questions. And Lewandowski called him President Swalwell because he ran for president and failed miserably. So then Swalwell said, "Here, we have an excerpt from your book. Could you read it?" He's like, "No, you can go ahead and read it." He's like, "Are you ashamed to read it of your book?" He's like, "No, because I'm not ashamed of anything that I have done. And so you clowned Lewandowski. And then back to Nadler, they're talking about the Mueller report. Like, do you remember talking to Trump on this date? What are you referring to? I'm referring to the Mueller report. Well, I don't have a copy of their Mueller report. And this was going back and forth for hours. And then the ranking Republican sitting next to Nadler called a point of order about resetting the clock. So they had to have a roll call. They had to twice about if resetting the clock and some other foolishness. But anyways, Lewandowski, if he's an attorney, I'm going to hire him as my counselor because, again, he just took them to school. All the Democrats on the committee at the hearing tried to outdo each other, out-liberal each other, trying to make their look good for CNN and MSNBC, and failed miserably. It was just an absolute sham. Absolutely nothing was proven other than that Jared Nadler looks like a total boob. Did you watch this hearing this past week?
I only saw bits of it on the local news channels that they were showing, but I'm sure they didn't show all the good stuff. but it did look like Mr. Lewandowski did quite well holding up his own. I don't think that the committee felt as good going out as they did going into it. There was a couple of lessons that the committee learned, and one is to not screw with this guy. You speak your mind, you speak the truth, you can't lose. And he didn't lose at all. Didn't lose at all in my mind.
Right, and just watching people like watching the committee itself, like Jim Jordan and I think what's his name, David Sensenline, the guy from Arizona sitting next to Nadler, just having them throw a monkey wrench in the works on top itself is even Collins, Representative Collins from Arizona. He was also another hero of the hearing, and he's on the committee. And he also had Hank Johnson, the guy who thinks Guam's going to turn over. He looked like an idiot. And then good old Representative Cohen from Memphis, Tennessee, the bald Jew who wants to be on the Congressional Black Caucus. This fool called I forgot who he was, a chicken. He said, "Oh, you're nothing but chicken," and brought out a bucket of KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, to eat said chicken. So, I mean, he's an idiot. And but there you get, you get what you get when you vote for these people. But it was just an abomination. And Lewandowski came out looking like a superstar. In fact, I started to follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Lewandowski, LeWandowski. And, he's a proud guy because guess what? He didn't change his name to something simpler like Bill de Blasio or Bernie Sanders or a lot of these other yahoos on the left. But anyways, good on Corey Lewandowski.
When I sit and watch, and I'm sorry I missed it, I'll look that entire hearing up on YouTube. It's probably up on YouTube. Or Google it or something. But it's a sideshow. The Democrats are fighting Republicans. Republicans are fighting back, and then the Democrats coming back. Now I understand that they want to hold Lewandowski in contempt for not answering their questions. I just don't know where this is going to end. I don't think anybody knows where this is going to end. I don't think it matters one damn bit who gets elected in 2020. This mess between, Congress and putting these witnesses to grill them and looking stupid is going to continue anyway. It doesn't matter who's going to be in the White House.
Right.
Trump's going to be in the White House. We know this. And I think I read last night before hitting the sack was, and I mean the bed, not the other sack, I think that it's between, they're saying it's between Biden and Kamala. And I'll call her Kamala until the day I die. All she needs is a little bit, you know, finger paint on her face, and she'll look like the wrestler. Can you imagine either one of these people running against Trump? I think Kamala would do better than Hillary did if she was the Democrats' choice for president. I think she's running around all over the place thinking that she's going to be elected the first woman president. But, you know, we'll see. You know, in a year from now, we'll know who's going to be stepping up against Mr. Trump on the podium. It's the debates like he tore apart Hillary 4 years ago. So I think this Lewandowski hearing, it's coming down. It's coming down to the wire what the Democrats actually have been trying to do for 3 years, which is make the Republican Party non-existent. And we know that's not going to happen.
Right. And we could go into hours on talking about how Trump is bringing people to the party. And, you know, just to let everybody know, we are not registered Republicans whatsoever. But anyways, we're going to talk about tough guy Joe Biden on the other side of this break. Stand by. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Members of the U.S. House Intelligence Committee holding a classified briefing at this hour with the Intel Community's Inspector General about a whistleblower complaint reportedly against President Trump. It reportedly involves a troubling promise a member of the Intel Community heard President Trump make to a foreign leader in a telephone call. Philip Mudd is a former CIA and FBI analyst himself. He says he can't understand this.
Can you explain to me, A, why it's the U.S. intelligence community's responsibility to listen to the president of the United States speaking to a foreign leader, and B, why the U.S. intelligence community, under the rules provided by the Democrats in Congress, are responsible to report to the Congress what the president of the United States says?
He was speaking on CNN, and this is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Tropical Depression Imelda pouring rain on southeast Texas, where they've had to close busy Interstate 10 because of flooding.
We've actually seen some reports 15 to 20 inches in those areas, and it is still raining heavily east of Houston.
That's Mark Shenard of the National Weather Service, which has declared a flooding emergency in several Texas cities, including Beaumont, Port Arthur, and Rose City. Today's the fourth day of the United Auto Workers strike against General Motors, now the longest nationwide strike against GM since the 1970s. The strike began at midnight Sunday after the talks broke down. Auto industry analysts say the strike could dent GM's profit by about $50 million a day. A tour bus carrying members of country and gospel singer Josh Turner's crew crashing near Chandon, California, killing one aboard the bus and injuring seven others. And this is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Now, Joe Biden was born in Pennsylvania, grew up in Delaware, and passes himself off as a blue-collar guy, you know, old lunch bucket Joe, clock-punching Joe, Joe Sixpack, whatever. But here's the thing about Mr. Biden. He went to law school, became an attorney, and he's been a member of Congress and a vice president and a Beltway insider for the past 45-plus years. So, way to go, Joe. But anyways, something came up this week about Joe Biden, the gangbanger. Joe Biden looks like was talking about when he was a lifeguard back in the early 60s when he was about 19 years old. And he was lifeguarding some pool near the housing projects. And there's some gentleman on the diving board with some hair product in his hair. As you know, back in the day, gentlemen of color put relaxer and other hair products, just like, you know, people today put hair products in the hair. So, anyways,
the wet looks.
Yeah. So, anyways, this gentleman was supposed to wear a bathing cap. So Joe yelled at this guy. He's like, "Hey, Esther Williams, you need to put on a bathing cap." And it turns out this gentleman was a local shot caller named Corn Pop. And he says, and so allegedly Corn Pop says, "Well, I'll meet you in the parking lot." So Biden tells a story that says he went to one of the maintenance guys for the pool shows up, and he tells the guy what's going on. And the guy was able to find a piece of chain and cut one of the links off the chain so he'd have a 6-foot piece of chain. So anyways, Joe and Corn Pop met in the parking lot by his, 1960 Plymouth Fury or whatever he was driving at the time. And he apologized for calling the gentleman Esther Williams, and they went on their way. That's just terrible fiction. I mean, not only do I believe it's not true, it's just a bad story. You know, it's like Joe Biden, he stepped up as a member of like Adam Diaz's crew or a member of a local biker gang, step up to some dude named Corn Pop. Here's why I call Boulder Dash. First of all, Biden has a history of plagiarism. His first of many presidential runs derailed the 1980s when it came out he was plagiarizing speeches. Secondly, black people historically are not swimmers. They don't like hang out at pools. They don't go to pools. They don't swim. They don't compete. Some time ago, there's a movie of a bunch of black kids swimming in the 1970s. I'm sure most of that was fictionalized. And now this dude named Corn Pop, if he was supposedly the leader of one of the toughest gangs in town, you know, why would he bring his crew to a public pool, especially if he was an adult? You don't have too many members of the Bloods or Crips hanging out at the local public pool. Anyways, if Joe did work at a pool near the projects with a lot of people from the projects, Mr. Biden, Joe's dad, would not let him work in that pool. That's just the way it was back in the day. I mean, my son or daughter worked in a situation.
Look at him. He's hugging and kissing on 12-year-old girls now behind the podium fully dressed. Can you imagine Joe Biden loose at a public pool?
Yeah, before there were cameras everywhere, smartphones and things like that. Good grief.
His father knew something even back then. You know, his father knew something. He was trying to hold that monster back. And, you know, I don't mean the culprit monster. I mean, just hold this man back from, assaulting or touching up on little girls and boys and stuff. And then hitting on his mom.
Right. Plus, back in the day, if, you know, some girl comes home and says, "Oh, lifeguard touched me or made me feel icky," guess what? That lifeguard would be missing a couple teeth. And here's another thing. Esther Williams was a big movie star in the 1940s and 1950s. Now, I'm sure the kids in the early 1960s would be not too familiar with her work. I guess she made a movie where – I forget the name of the movie. It doesn't matter. But where it's like synchronized swimming. It's a big production number, you know, Hollywood production number. Anyways, this alleged event took place in 1962. And despite being 8 years after the Brown versus Board of Education decision, I'm pretty sure the people of color did not swim in Biden's neighborhood. And I'm pretty sure Biden did not go in to work in that neighborhood.
Right.
Anyways, the Corn Pot, supposed to be the leader of this gang. He stood down against this white kid when he apologized. I mean, come on now. But anyways, Biden knew about this corn pop character, and he still stepped up to him, you know, walked up with a chain. You know, it's like any of us, any 19-year-old kid stepping up to a guy like Sonny Barger, Chuck Zito, a local wise guy, or Luis Felipe, who runs a Latin King gang from jail. So I'm pretty sure Joe Biden didn't want to step up to a corn pop. And, you know, here's another thing. There's actually a pool maintenance guy in the area that was able to find some chain and able to cut a link. I mean, come on now. I mean, if you're going to make up a story, make up, you know, something that's believable. What's your take on tough guy Joe Biden?
You know, I speak my mind about Creepy Joe. He's, you know, he pulled out in a 1988 presidential campaign because the plagiarism was coming to light on speeches and such, and, you know, law school things that, you know, he may or may have not plagiarized, you know, other people's papers and stuff. So, you know, what makes it different now? Why are his opponents on these debates not bringing that up at the podium? Have they been told that's off limits? Because as far as I know, it hasn't come up. The only thing that's come up is that he pulled out of the presidential election in 1988 against George H. Now, with all of his history with, like you said, like we talked about in previous shows, you know, his touchy feely stuff, you know, is he, I can't remember the guy who does the presidential oath, but, you know, God forbid, you know, he wins the presidential election and gets sworn in. Is he going to start making out with that judge that's swearing him in? You know, is he going to start feeling him up? Is he going to start touching the guy's kids and stuff? You know, this is a guy we don't need. You know, he'll be called President Pedophile if that happens. Now, we're not looking at somebody who said, well, which is going to be worse, him or Mr. Trump? It's not a question of who's going to be worse. It's a question of who's going to be better and make our country better and make our people stronger. You know, it's a process. Everybody looked at Mr. Trump, you know, on January, 17th or 18th, 3 years ago. Okay, what'd you do so far? You know, it took Obama, you know, exactly, you know, 8 years to destroy this country. And it was a process that got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's going to take 8 years for Mr. Trump's plans to move forward. Now, I look at it this way. You know, I think we should change the years of a president. You know, from, you know, two terms, you know, 4 years each term to, you know, one shot, 6 years. Because number one, when you're elected president, it's going to take you a year to get on board. And then the fourth year, it's going to take you a year in political moves to get reelected. So actually the first term he's only really working 2 years. And then the second 4 years, if he's reelected, is when things get done or not done, you know, specifically. So if you give him 6 years, you know, the first year we'll be getting to know the job, and then the next 5 years is actually being a president and doing things. And,
right.
You know, the interruption of elections, it just takes up too much baloney time. And you know, kissing babies. Well, that's Joe Biden's thing. but, you know, Roosevelt got elected for what, four terms, and he couldn't finish the fourth term because he died. And then
right.
The Truman, the, you know, somewhere in Congress, they passed a bill that, you know, only, you know, two-term president. You know, I think they should change it again. You know, you run once, You get 6 years, do what you can, and get the hell out. Because in 6 years, if you can't do it, why do we got to suffer another 2 more years with somebody like Obama? I mean, you know, we proved it back in 76, 1980, when Reagan ran against Jimmy Carter. We had enough of him. And what did he do? What did he accomplish? Now he's bad-mouthing Trump. So,
right. But anyway. All right, well, hold that thought. We'll talk about the rest of the Democrat losers on the debate stage. This is 7-5 Radio on the B News Radio Network.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we're at the final segment of another great episode of 7-5 Radio. Walter, one of the reasons why the other Democratic presidential candidates do not bring up Joe Biden's lies, plagiarism, his touchy-feelingness, because Joe Biden is able to derail his campaign all by himself. He constantly misquoting, misspeaking at these campaign events, and the media, some of the media people saying, well, because he's old, because he needs to do his, Joe needs to do his campaign stops in the morning when he's more alert, because it's a long time to go 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So anyways, that's why. But anyways, that's for Joe Biden. But anyways, this past week, I tried to watch the Democratic presidential debate on ABC. This was a very, very, very hard task to do. Our good buddy JB Gunner had a live stream with commentary from him and comments from people on the Gun Squad. I still couldn't do it. I still turned it off. I ended up watching the second episode of season two of the Mayans, but that's something else. But anyways, all these candidates sounded exactly the same. Here's some of the lowlights. The Democrat Party hates white people. They all want to go after white nationalists, white supremacists. Other than the government infiltrators that were at places like Charlottesville, there's no major threat from white people. I mean, all these people you hear on the political cesspool and so forth, they just want to be left alone. They say, we just want to do our own thing and, you know, thank you very much. Please leave us alone. Please get out of our back pocket, because we're sick and tired of paying for these Great Society social programs that has done nothing for 50 years. But anyways, so they want to spend resources on going after white people. But see, what they fail to realize is the white people, majority of white people who become cops and firemen, doctors and nurses and special forces operators that keep our people safe. But anyways, but we won't look at that. I mean, because you know, because these people also hate cops too. The Democrat Party hates guns. They all want to ban guns. Beto O'Rourke wants to take your guns. But majority of these people receive protection from either the U.S. Capitol Police, U.S. Secret Service, the California Highway Patrol, the Newark Police Department, the San Antonio Police Department, private security, or a combination of all above. People like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Cory Booker, they've had protection most of their adult life. Joe Biden's had protection probably for the past 50 years. Again, we're the tax people. We are the taxpayer that pays for all this protection. When you do go up to Capitol Hill, guess what? You go through a metal detector, and a nice Capitol Police officer makes sure you have nothing that you shouldn't have. You know, we're not saying these people don't need protection, because they're just kooks out there. But let the people who do not have a protective detail, can't afford their own private security, let them have the ability to defend themselves and their families. Another thing I took away, that the Democrat Party is more concerned about Mexican citizens that want to come here than American citizens. ABC had that Mexican commie, I forgot his name, which is not important. They had him on talking his broken Spanglish. He had about two, three candidates talking in Spanish. And this is on the American Broadcasting Company Network. And again, they're pandering these people is because they bring in votes. They want these people to come here. They want them to become citizens. They want them to vote Democrat. And even if they don't become citizens, they still want them to vote. And even though they're only one person, they want them to vote many times for Democrats. And our old good buddy Bernie Sanders, he no longer talks about the millionaires and billionaires. He only talks about the billionaires, because now his net worth is over $1 million. Now, a funny thing about billionaires, the evil Koch brothers, they employ 67,000 people. Bernie, meanwhile, paid his campaign standards a living wage of $15 per hour, but reduced their working hours. They all support a health care plan, which is heavy on government oversight and light on individual health care needs. It's a good thing these people take limousines and have chauffeur-driven SUVs, because if not, they mess up car insurance. And then these people want to spend trillions of dollars to fight climate change. Want to fight climate change, even though we're $2 trillion in debt. But what's funny is that they want to fight climate change here. Now, Walter, I've traveled overseas. I can say the world's a dirty place. I mean, in India, they had the United Nations released a video for Indian people not to go poop in the street, literally. They have no standards in places like India, places like China. When I did deployment in the Persian Gulf at night, you would see the smoke coming from all these oil rigs because they burn off they're burning stuff from getting oil out of the.
You know, in the past 200 freaking years, man, we've accomplished to get 6 billion people on the face of the earth.
Yep.
And, you know, what's going to be in another 200 years? You know, 15 billion, 16 billion. You know, we're running out of room. We ran out of room a long time ago for the, you know, people that work for a living and actually pay taxes and such. This is not the type of country that, you know, and everybody says it's a cliche. This isn't what they said back in 1776, you know. All the Bill of Rights, you know, that was created back in the late 1700s, you know, that doesn't stand now. You know, the bare arms and, you know, and freedom of speech, you know, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, we don't know the way it's supposed to be because it's been wrong for so long. I think we need to bring back public executions, public humility, you know, the stocks that the pilgrims used to use, you know, put your head in the stock, your hands in the stock, and stay there for a couple of days, you know, things like that. It's just so wrong. And people that are trying to live correct. And, you know, I know I freaked up my life in the 1980s and 90s, but, you know, I'm not patting myself on the back, but, you know, I'm living the American dream now. I finally got it right. And,
right.
But it's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to, you know, go down to the local grocery store, no matter what neighborhood you're in, and not have to duck bullets, you know, not just from, you know, ghetto gunfire, but from these idiots that are opening it up in public places and in schools and stuff. That stuff's not supposed to happen. These people shouldn't have been on the face of the earth. So what we got to do is we got to clean it up. And if we clean it up, I think we'll be better off. You know, there's that thing, well, we got to play by the rules. Oh, cops can't do that, or the FBI can't do that, or the CIA can't do that. Well, they need to start doing that, whatever that may be. You know, they know where all these bad guys are, like this freaking character that sabotaged the plane in July. Why in America do we got a freaking Iraqi national working in our airports? So, you know, it's just wrong across the board. And hopefully Mr. Trump can make our country stronger, get the money back into our economy where we can take steps to get rid of the riffraff, using my father's words, rest in peace, get rid of the riffraff that this country doesn't need. And I'm not just talking right. about foreign, I'm talking about domestic also.
Right. You know what, you're absolutely right. But again, you know, it's a riffraff that's taking the graft that they're looking to pander votes. And, you know, the Democrats, they'll say, vote for us, we'll give you free everything. And the Republicans, they're most of their answer is like, well, we'll give you just as much and more. But that's why we're $22 trillion in debt. And that's why, you know what, I got some issues with Donald Trump. Like, I got issues with every president. But at least he's making these people go back to work, and he's building that wall, and that's why we love him. Also, in speaking of Trump, he walks around with a wad of 20s in his pocket to tip people. Imagine that. He walks, because, I mean, Donald Trump, even though he's born with a silver spoon in his mouth, he knows people work hard for the money, and he wants to give them a gratuity for a job well done. So I'm sure there'll be backlash against that. It's like, oh, look at this rich guy giving away 20s. Now, mind you, it's not just singles. It's not fives. It's 20. So kudos on Donald Trump for, taking care of business. Well, that's another episode in the can. I got to run out of here. I'm late for another appointment. But anyways, folks, this is Peter Scoop standing reminding you, You can make a difference. Go out and make it. So long, everybody.
Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.